This is a sermon for the Feast of Christ the King, and the scripture it reflects on is Psalm 100. So it's the Feast of Christ the King when we particularly focus on the reality that Christ is enthroned at the right hand of the Father, and his kingdom will have no end. It's the crowning of the liturgical year, the grand climax, before we start all over again with the first Sunday of Advent next week. And there are all sorts of things we might want to reflect on there, but I want to do something maybe a little bit unexpected and think about music and singing. Our psalm today calls us to serve the Lord with gladness and come before his face with songs of joy. And what better note to end the liturgical year on than gladness and songs of joy? And yet, for all that singing in worship is supposed to be a joyful thing, I'd have to observe that in just about every church I've been involved with, music has been in some way a source of tension. In one church I worked in, I had to be careful what shoes I wore, because if your shoes were too noisy on the floor, you faced the ire of the director of music for making noise while the choir was singing. Okay, so that was an extreme example. But when I think about all the tension and disagreements about music, what music we should have, what instruments, how to support the congregation to sing, all of those things, I conclude that Christians argue about this so much because it matters. It matters. Music and singing as part of worship matter. So what I really want to talk about a little bit is why it matters and some of the principles we might use to navigate those tensions which crop up from time to time. And here's the thing, our worship doesn't exist and can't be captured in a book or on a page. Worship or liturgy is in its essence an experience. It's the lived interaction between the gathered people and our God, and what happens in and between us in that interaction. The books and papers, or even screens if you're in that kind of church, are a prompt and an aid to what we do together with our bodies, our minds and our hearts. We want to get to the point where rather than being focused on the pages, if we need them at all, help us to focus on God. And one way to do that is to sing our hearts out. Singing lets us participate to the full with our bodies, our intellects, and our emotions and our memories. And singing together creates community. We join our voices, listen to one another, keep the same tempo, at least we try to. The people with stronger voices support those less well practiced. Even when one person can't sing for whatever reason, they can be caught up in the swell of voices from behind and around and in front of them, making us all a part of something bigger than ourselves. There aren't many things that we do together the way we sing together. It's a living expression of being one body. We're not a random crowd, not a group of people who just happen to be in the same place, but a community with a shared identity and purpose. Bonhoeffer put it this way, "It is not you that sings, it is the church that is singing, and you, as a member of the church, may share in its song." Now, I realise, of course, that this gets tricky when hearing becomes a problem. For those folks who are deaf or have hearing loss, music or singing can pass them by or be difficult, and that then requires more creativity on our part about how we do things together. So I'm speaking here about what we might reasonably think of for most of us who can hear and who do have a working voice. And for those people, which is the majority of us, the question is not, do you have a voice, but do we have a song? The music and the singing we share in worship is not supposed to be a professional production or a performance, but an offering to God of our very selves. And here's some of why music adds so much to what we do together. It creates connections in our brains between our thoughts, our emotions, and our memories. Connections which don't happen when we're not singing. So by doing that, it helps us integrate ideas and experiences with our sense of self. It enriches our understanding. And because when we sing something familiar, we remember where we've sung it before and the emotions and the meaning it had then, it connects our past with our present and relates both of those things to our future. More than that, because music as an art form expresses beauty and order, in itself it says something about the character of God. That God is not chaotic or ugly. Music isn't just something that belongs to human culture on earth. In the book of Job, God talks about how the heavenly beings sang before the beginning of creation, and the book of Revelation tells us of sung worship in heaven for eternity. Our own music and singing in our worship give us an echo, a hint, a bit of participation in those eternal, incredible choral realities, and allow us to participate in them just a little through the beauty, the order, and the goodness of music as an art form. In that way, too, music gives dignity to what might otherwise not be very dignified at all. It can give us a container for our grief, bring peace to our anxieties, and relieve our stresses. None of which are an end in themselves for us in church, but can help us to put ourselves in the right frame of mind to really worship. Music moves us, sometimes quite literally, hopefully in worship, carrying us to a spiritually healthier place than we were before we gathered. When I say that it moves us, I mean it shapes our sense of identity. It gives us a sense of belonging, of commitment, of hope and joy and so on. And because of all of this, music and singing help us to connect our own personal life stories with the big Christian story, helping us to see who God is to and for us, and the meaning of our own ups and downs in the bigger picture. Now, we do need to be careful. Music is supposed to support us in all of this, but it's not supposed to be manipulative. Ultimately, worship music, just like any of the arts involved in churches, like architecture or the visual arts or the poetry of prayer, any of these things done well invites us into a space where we can encounter God. But it can't create that encounter, and it can't substitute for it. We do have to let God be God and leave a little bit of room for mystery. But if we approach questions of music and singing in worship with the questions, how does what we're doing together help us in the process of worship? How does it enable every person present to truly participate? How does it help us to be the sort of community we're truly called to be? How does it help us to serve the Lord with gladness and come before his face with joy? Then I suggest we'll be on the right track in honouring the reign of Christ.